Good afternoon and welcome to Business Today with the MBA. I'm your host, Karen Torres, Executive Editor of the Manufacturer and Business Association Business Magazine. And today we have a special guest with us to talk about our upcoming Impact Luncheon and Nonprofit Fair. It's from 11:30 to 1 p.m. on Wednesday, July 19th in Erie, PA, when we'll be recognizing the importance of service to our community and our country and how employers can get involved when it comes to our service members, veterans, and training employment opportunities to address the growing skills gap. And today, our keynote speaker, Brigadier General Maureen Weigel, who is the Deputy Adjutant General for the PA Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. That's a long one. She's here. And General Weigel, thank you for your service and for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It is an honor and I love serving. I served 25 years in the Army and this is the best job in the Commonwealth. So thank you.
Well, I can't express how excited we are that you will be speaking at our upcoming Impact event and why employers in our area, in this region, shouldn't miss it. So really, I wanted to talk about your service to our country so people are familiar with it. You continue to serve our country after 25 years of military service, as you said. So tell us about your decision to serve.
Oh, you know, when I was a young kid, I honestly did not think I wanted to serve in the military. I played sports in high school and I loved the competitiveness. I loved the team concept. I loved my friends. I played all different sports. I loved the ability to move up, as you will, to be a captain of the teams. And that really impacted and resonated with me. When I went to college, I went to the University of Pittsburgh and I wasn't quite the Division I athlete. So I did not go and play at the University of Pittsburgh. But I got there my first semester. I was kind of lost. I had fun. I met friends. But someone told me about Army ROTC. And I was like, what's Army ROTC? And I said, I'm never joining the Army. But I loved it. I joined and I had so much fun. It was back being, you know, competition, teamwork, the pattern of it was just, it made sense to me. And I enjoyed doing new things, you know, rappelling in West Virginia and shooting weapons that I would never have thought to have fun with doing, rope climbing. And then they dangled the carrot and said, I can jump out of airplanes. And I was like, woo. So then I had a contract and I joined, you know, went to basic training, AIT, came back and I was a cadet and started my career. And, you know, that's kind of how I fell into the service. But my father served for 15 years. He left the military right when I was born and he went to Korea. He didn't talk a lot about military service, but he was a teacher and my mom was a teacher and they did so much volunteer work in their community and church. And I think I learned the value of service and of other people serving others. And I think my parents kind of inspired me in that way. So the military service made sense.
Well, and talk about your military career. I mean, it's very impressive. When you read your resume, you see what you've done. It's mind-boggling, the experience that you've had. So please tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Absolutely. You know, I had the great honor of doing ROTC at Pitt that I just mentioned. I went on active duty for about 5 years with the 10th Mountain Division. Had the ability to go to a third world country in Haiti back in 1994 when the U.S. went in. Just that experience alone, seeing a third world country and getting to meet some of the folks that we normally only see on TV and hear of, and being up close and personal on how the United States is helping so many other countries around the world was just a wonderful experience. And, you know, every time I thought I was going to leave service, more opportunities came to me. So I switched over from regular Army to the New York Guard right before 9/11. I was with the New York Guard on 9/11 and watched how the country and New York Guardsmen went into action to help down at Ground Zero. And then I moved to Penn State to teach ROTC, and I loved that. And it was a family move. My mother-in-law was ill and she needed help, so the military accommodated our move, and I found a great job teaching at Penn State and preparing cadets to go off to active duty knowing they were going to go to Iraq or Afghanistan in support of Operation Iraqi Freedom. And that was, you know, a lot of pride watching them walk out the door and seeing so many young men and women still raising their right hand to swear and to support and defend the Constitution of the United States was just really humbling. And I was really full of pride and patriotism. And then I went to the Pennsylvania Guard headquarters down in Fort Union Town Gap, Pennsylvania, and I helped them mobilize the largest number of guardsmen and women to go to Iraq and Afghanistan since the Korean War. It was the largest mobilization. And, you know, there were not a lot of policies and procedures in place. So we had to learn that process and prepare families and communities to lose their, you know, moms and dads and neighbors. And they don't have military installations here in Pennsylvania. So it was challenging, but very rewarding. Sadly, you know, we had to learn how to take care of the families of the fallen. But we stepped up and did that under some great leadership here in the Pennsylvania Guard at the time, Major General Jessica Wright. And we learned a great deal. And then I was so passionate about it, I went down to National Guard Bureau in Washington, D.C. to write policies and procedures to make it a better process for other states and guardsmen and women and to build communities of care. And it was nice to be able to work at that national level with Department of the Army and Department of the Air Force on policies that impacted servicemen and women. So I had the best jobs. I had the best opportunities. Went to Iraq on a special project for a traumatic brain injury. I learned so much. And again, just experiencing in the military, when they say, we'll send you all over the world, sometimes you're not thinking you want to go to Haiti or Iraq, but you know, you learn and grow so much from those experiences. It's addicting. It's really just a great opportunity.
And what a great experience for you as you moved into this current role that you have, because I understand you've been with the PA Department of Veterans Affairs since April 2021. So tell us what this role, this current role entails, because again, when you're talking logistics, you're talking manpower, you're talking having to mobilize. Tell us about the experience and how that has transitioned to your current role and what you're doing now.
You know, fortunately for me, I was a personnel officer. You would call it a human resource officer. So taking care of fellow service members is what I was taught to do, and I've learned how to do pretty well. So transitioning to this position was great. But in this role, I take care of the nearly 720,000 veterans in Pennsylvania. So the federal VA runs the federal VA hospitals, but we take care of veterans in the community. So we work with county directors. We work with your American Legions, your VFWs. We train all the service officers to take care of veterans. And we work with all of our sister agencies, Department of Health, Department of Human Services, Department of Aging, through the governor's office to make sure that the Commonwealth has all of the resources, federal and state, to provide for our servicemen and women. And that could be taking care of homeless veterans, taking care of folks with behavioral health or mental health issues, taking care of female veterans. Women are the fastest growing demographic of veterans. When I joined, only 6% of the armed services were women. Today, it's close to 16%. So we have to make sure females have equitable access to care and resources. We work with the county courts to make sure we have judicial courts to take care of servicemen and women that are in need. We work with the prisons. We work with employers. And this is huge. We have so many opportunities for employers to find great talent and bring veterans back here to Pennsylvania. So I mentioned we have 720,000 veterans. That makes us the fourth largest population of veterans, but we're one of the oldest. So 200,000 service members leave active duty, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, every year. We want them back here in Pennsylvania. I want them in Lafayette County, where I am today. I want them in Erie, you know, where we're going to be talking. I want them to come back and see just all the opportunities for employment and to have a great place to retire here in Pennsylvania. So it runs the gamut. I'm anywhere from Philadelphia to Erie at a prison at one of my 6 long-term care nursing homes that I have oversight of. There is one right there in Erie. It's a wonderful nursing home. We have about 1,015 service members and spouses in our nursing homes right now, and they're amazing facilities.
Well, and thank you for all of your work and efforts to help provide our veterans with the benefits they need to address these very important issues. And speaking of that, that segues into what we want to talk about more of about as the guest speaker at our Impact Luncheon and Nonprofit Fair on July 19th. You will be discussing the advantages of hiring veterans to address the growing skills gap. Very important. What are some of the biggest reasons that veterans make excellent job candidates?
I think it's their military values and discipline. I think most service members have, you know, decided to support and defend this great Constitution. That's a work ethic that cannot be lost on any employer. Not many people are willing to not only show up to work every day, but sacrifice even their own lives for something bigger than themselves. I mean, that's a value that many employers would absolutely love. But, you know, there's other wonderful benefits. Many of them are worldly. They've been deployed. They've seen different countries. They've seen how the United States, you know, reacts to support those other countries. And I think that gives you a worldview and a more strategic outlook. So when you're trying to help a community and a organization develop and make improvements and adjustments, you run in right into military behaviors and disciplines. You know, if you're going to go somewhere that, you know, you have a team and you're worrying about the team, military members know to do contingency planning. If something happens to them, succession planning, or to make the program better, how to bring in all the different resources from the different stakeholders. And privates learn that at basic training, you need to take care of the people on your left and right and carry out the mission. And I think that's, those are great attributes that they would definitely benefit from. And there's other skills. We educate service members. The type of education you go from an enlisted soldier to officers is unparalleled in the corporate world. We spend so much training on leadership and development that most civilian corporations can't afford to do. And I think that's a great benefit that service members bring in. And then there's other opportunities. If they're service members, they can get college for free. They can get job training. They can get apprenticeship programs, learn how to run their own businesses. There's so many programs for veterans and that benefit organizations as well. They can get their Lean Six Sigma, their project management certifications, SHRM, the human resource certifications that are so valued, and those are free to veterans and their spouses. So lots of opportunities, and I could go on at length about any one of those.
Well, and I know we want to kind of highlight one of the most particular programs in there, that list of the Department of Defense Skill Bridge Program. So you're going to highlight this during our impact event, which is very important. So please explain what this program is and why our employers should want to hear more about it and what they should learn about it.
Absolutely. So it's Hire Our Heroes Skill Bridge. It's a great opportunity for the corporate world, whether you're a small business, medium business, or a large corporation, to say, hey, we could hire veterans back here to Pennsylvania coming off active duty. So if a service member wants to leave active duty, they could sign up for this program and employers sign up for the program. And then hopefully they match, right? And so then they could say, hey, Maureen Weigel, you know, yes, we'll take you. You can come back here to Erie and work at this corporation. And then they don't have to pay for me. I will arrive into Erie and I'm still on active duty, so I don't need a paycheck. So for 4 to 6 months, you're going to show me, like as you would an intern, what you do, how you do things, and see if I'm a match for your company. It's a great way to allow corporations to learn about service members and their strengths, but it's also a way to bring someone back to your community from active duty and bring more people back to Pennsylvania. So it's a win-win for everybody.
How successful has the program been thus far?
Very successful. It's actually growing. Department of Defense is so, I guess you'd say they were so surprised by the success and the interest for corporations and for service members to do this transition process. It's growing and they're expanding the services and making it easier for corporations and service members to take advantage of this program. Transition's a big deal for the active duty and for the states. We want to make sure service members who are leaving an installation of support, you know, a whole military installation, that they know when they come back to a county in a zip code that there's support and resources for them. And one way is to help them transition smoothly. Not everybody wants DoD Skill Bridge. Some folks want to go to college after school. Some people want to go and just do trades. But there's opportunities for us to transition them into different options. And this one's a really successful program.
Well, and I wanted to ask, is there any limits again on industry or size of the company or anything that our members should be aware of on that part?
No, and you know what? I would encourage you to reach out to my office and we can help you navigate that. If SkillBridge is not the right option, there's apprenticeship programs that you can bring someone in. They can use their military GI Bill to do training that you have. And there's monetary benefits for companies and corporations to take advantage of these programs and to highlight them. So between my office and the Department of Labor and Industry here in Pennsylvania, we can walk you through all of those options. And there's so many grants available to companies that are going to hire veterans. just so many wonderful, great programs. Don't be afraid to ask. Don't think you don't qualify. If you don't qualify for SkillBridge, there's other opportunities for you. And there's so many other wonderful employment programs for veterans and for employers.
Now, I know there's going to be some other topics you're going to address. If you want to just highlight that for our members who are going to be listening to this program, some of the other touch points that you want to mention.
Absolutely. You know, I would be remiss if I didn't take the time to tell everybody about the PAC Act and the changes to benefits that are available. There are state and federal benefits available to service members. Some people think, I don't have a problem. I'm not injured. I don't need to sign up for federal benefits. I don't need money from the federal government. I'm not broken. Let other people who are more in need. And I would encourage people, what the PAC Act does is, if you were a Vietnam veteran and you might have been denied service-connected disability, today you may qualify. They've made some issues, medical conditions, now presumptive, meaning that we assume that you had this cancer now because you served in Vietnam and you were exposed to Agent Orange. So that's a big difference. And it's important for veterans and everyone to know, and employers, because you have employers that might now qualify for this and you want to take care of them. Same thing, the PAC Act also made presumptives for Iraq and Afghanistan war veterans through the toxic burn pit exposure, as well as the Camp Lejeune commercials that you read about the water. There are toxins that service members were exposed to that may impact your health, if not today, down the road. So we want to tell them to go ahead and get those benefits, reach out to us. It's important, and you know, I'll explain that in detail there, but very important for you to take care of yourself and get the benefits. Even if you don't want to use VA for services, have your information documented. And pension poaching, I threw that in your notes as well. You shouldn't pay to have these claims and benefits done for you. And we will go to employers and help them educate their staff and their employees on these benefits. And there's monetary benefits that come with some of them. And it's just a great thing to do for all service members to let them know what's available.
Well, General Weigel, this is all great information for the veterans out there and for our employers to learn more about. That's why we're so excited about the July 19th Impact Luncheon and Nonprofit Fair. For more information, people can go to mbausa.org or check out the July Business Magazine, where we're going to spotlight General Weigel at mbabizmag.com. But I have to say, thank you so much, General Weigel. All good points.
Thank you. And I don't mean to give you one last point, but PA Vet Connect, that's going to be one of the highlights, because that's where I'm going to actually highlight and talk about all the 501c3s that do so much wonderful work. On your worst day in life, if you're having like a moment and thinking, you know, humanity is just lost on everybody, and just go to one of the nonprofits, the homeless shelters, the food banks, and there's so many wonderful volunteers taking care of our servicemen and women every day, and we really appreciate them. So I'm looking forward to talking about that in far more detail.
And we're very excited to have our nonprofit presence at the fair. So please come out and show your support. Get some great information from General Weigel that can help you and your organization here in Erie. If you're not in Erie, if you're down in Meadville, if you're across in Ohio or New York, please come join us. Thank you for tuning in. This is Karen Torres signing off for Business Today with the MBA. Have a great afternoon.